If you could turn in your Bibles to John chapter 15, we're continuing our Easter series in the Gospel of John. These are Jesus' words to his friends, to his disciples on the night before he went to the cross. He's getting them ready and explaining to them what their relationship with him means. So we will go to the Lord and just ask for his help as we look at his word together. This is John 15, 9 to 17. As the Father, I'm going to pray. I'm getting ahead of myself. Forgive me. Let me pray. I'll read in a sec. Here we go. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love, and we thank you for your word that you've spoken to us. Thank you that your son spoke these words, that we've got them written down, that they're all true 100%, and that they are life-giving, that your word is what speaks the universe into existence, and also your word is the word that we believe, and we're saved from sin and hell. And we are grateful to you for the life that it gives us and that you give us through your son. And I pray right now as we reflect on what Jesus said, that we would be nourished by this word and that you would just encourage us tonight, help us to understand more of what it means that we're in you, that we are in Christ, in his love. I just ask for your help in that, and I pray in Jesus' name, amen. The most powerful force in the universe is love. Can I get a witness? Amen. I was even in the dentist office, the orthodontist office this week, and there's a song on the speakers that come on. It's like, your love has lifted me higher. And just, she's singing about, like, she says, like, disappointment was my only friend. And then you wrapped your loving arms around me, and I can face the world. It's like, man, it's so powerful. The most powerful force in the universe is love. It's more powerful than a nuclear bomb. It's the most powerful force in the world. And the most powerful love in the world is God's love for us in Christ. And that's what we're going to reflect on today. The way that Jesus loved us is the most powerful kind of love. The most powerful love. This is what Jesus said, John 15, 9. As the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that my joy may be in you, and your love and your joy may be complete. This is my command: love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants anymore, because a servant doesn't know what his master is doing. I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce fruit, and that your fruit should remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. This is what I command you: love one another. This is God's word. As the Father has loved me, I have also loved you, Jesus says. That's verse 9. And then in verse 12, he says, love one another as I have loved you. Jesus loves us. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that beautiful? Jesus loves us. As the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. We've been studying Deuteronomy. The greatest commandment is love God with all your heart. That's what we're commanded to do. Why do we love him? We love him because he first loved us. Isn't that amazing? God the Father loved God the Son perfectly. He loves him perfectly. From eternity past, he's loved him perfectly. And out of the overflow of that love, God loves us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And that son, Jesus, loves us. He wanted to come near us. He wanted to give himself for us. He wanted our good. Isn't that amazing to think that God loves you? Isn't it amazing to think that Jesus loves you? I want you to think of the person who loves you the best, the person in the whole world that loves you the best, the one who accepts you, who understands you, who knows your faults and still wants good things for you, who enjoys being with you, the person you feel most at home with. Okay? Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's your mom or your dad or somebody else in your family. Maybe it's your best friend. The Son of God loves you even better. This is the most life-changing news anyone could ever tell you. When you come to believe in God's love, it changes your eternal destiny. And when you feel the love of God, it strengthens your heart like nothing else can. Brothers and sisters, Jesus loves you. So how does Jesus love us? Jesus loved us, first of all, by laying down his life for us. Do you see that in verse 13? No one has greater love than this, to lay down his life for his friends. On Memorial Day, we honor soldiers who gave their lives for their country. And there's that beautiful hymn, America the Beautiful, patriotic hymn. It has the line, "More than self, their country loved." And you know what Jesus suffered for us? He loved us so much that he was willing to give his life. He suffered terrible injustice, cruel torture, shameful ridicule, an agonizing death on a cross. It's the mode of execution for the very worst criminals. And Jesus said that no one took his life from him. Rather, he gave it up for our sake, bearing the penalty for our sin, because he loved us. He also loved us by calling us friends. You see that in verse 15? I don't call you servants anymore, because a servant doesn't know what his master is doing. I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything I have heard from my Father. This is how he relates to us. Yeah, he wants us to obey him, but he doesn't command us like a slave who doesn't understand the plan, doesn't know why he should obey. He tells us all the reasons. He calls us his friends. Jesus also loved us by choosing us. He chose us. This is a profound truth that I've just resigned myself to never fully understanding. So it's true that I'm responsible for believing in Jesus. And there was a point in my life, I was a child, but I found, even then, I found Jesus so compelling that I decided to put my faith in him. But even so, behind that moment, before that moment, Jesus chose me. And I know I won't understand this side of heaven, how that all works together. But I'm so thankful. And aren't you thankful that even though we don't understand it, Jesus chose us to belong to him. Chose us who believe. He chose us to belong to him. And Jesus loved us also by pointing us to produce fruit. So Jesus is alive from the dead. He's ascended into heaven. He's still working in the world through his Spirit in us. So we who are in him produce fruit. We talked about this on Sunday. It's the fruit of his character being formed in us. It's the fruit of our obedience, in us carrying on his mission and in the way that we reflect his love to each other and to the world. Brothers and sisters, you are significant to Jesus. He's given you, he's prepared good works for you to do. You have fruit to produce for him. His love will not leave you the same. You will change and you will grow and you'll work for him. So that's how Jesus loved us, and he still loves us. And we who believe in him are in his love. Do you see back in verse 9, he says, remain in my love. I mean, if we're supposed to remain there, if we're supposed to stay there, you can assume that's because that's where we are. You are in his love. So believers in Christ are connected to him like a branch in a vine. We are in his love. So on the one hand, we're there. We're supposed to, and on the other hand, he tells us, stay there. We're called to remain in his love. And we do that when we remain in his love, that's how we produce fruit, by staying connected to him. If you are a genuine believer in Christ, you will remain in him. That's why it's so reassuring to hear that I didn't choose him. He chose me. But even so, he's telling me, remain, you know, stay. So I need to stay connected to him in order to produce the fruit that he's called me to produce, to give evidence of my connection to him. So how do we remain in him? Look at verse 10. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. So we remain in his love by obeying, and I'll keep going. He says, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Jesus obeyed his Father perfectly. We remain in him as we obey him, and we do what he says, you know, following his example of obedience. And when you know him, when you know how much he loves you, obeying him is not drudgery. It's a spontaneous kind of, yes, of course, Jesus, I'll do what you want. That's what it's like to obey him. Look at verse 11. We remain in his love by having the joy which flows from his joy. He says, I have told you these things that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. Paul writes this about Jesus, that he, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. So Jesus, I mean, going to the cross isn't joyful, right? But he knew the victory on the other side. So for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He's willing to suffer it. And you can endure suffering when you know that there's victory on the other side. It gives you joy. And when you know how much Jesus loves you, it gives you joy. J-O-Y, down in your heart, deep, deep down in your heart. Okay. You like that song? It's one of my favorites. It's a banger, kids. Okay. Okay, let's see. You also remain in his love by loving one another as he loved us. So we remain in Jesus' love and we bear Jesus' fruit when we love one another as he loved us. Now, almost everybody in the whole world approves of love. Almost everybody in the whole world would agree, you know, all we need is love. Love is all we need. And it's kind of, but it's in an abstract, theoretical kind of a way. You know what's really difficult? Look around you. Look at these people around here. I know. Try loving those people. You know? Real people. With real problems, with complicated lives. You know? But that's what Jesus calls us to. You know, the world says, yeah, everybody should love everybody. But Jesus says, love one another. And I think the one another, first of all, is in the local church. You know, the real live human beings in your local church. Will you be committed to them? Will you love them? We must, and we can, because He loved us. He loved us, and we are in His love. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for the way that You loved us through Your Son. And I want to ask for Your help, that You would help us to remain in Your love and to bear this fruit that you've called us to bear, especially loving each other. We ask You for Your help in this, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen.